guys, welcome back. It's me, Sarah.
It's me, Miriam.
And it's me, Marissa.
So that makes us Sundays at Sarah's.
In total, we are Sundays at Sarah's.
All together.
When Miriam's gone, it's no longer Sundays at Sarah's.
It's just at Sarah's.
a Sunday.
Just Sundays.
It's just a Sunday. So we'll be talking today about exhibition experiences, but before we do that, we're going to have a little mini topic about another Whitney biennial, but this one, the Whitney defends an artist, Dana Schutz. The piece that's being debated is Open Casket, and this piece was done back in 2016, and it was a portrait of a disfigured corpse of Emmett Till, and it was debuted at the Whitney Biennial. And because of the content and who made it, the painting set off a heated debate over whether a white artist like Schutz has the right to make art that draws on trauma experienced by the black community. And I feel like we've witnessed some of this kind of stuff before, like seen this kind of topic arise where we see an artist with some kind of privilege. It's not exploiting and not taking advantage of, but using someone else's misery to say something at the very least. But sometimes that can come off as using the person or exploiting this one person's or these people's lives for the benefit of the artist. And I think it depends a lot on the artist. Like, if the artist is creating a platform for these people where they can talk about the issues, and that's something different. Or if they're giving all the proceeds to the people that are affected, then that's something different. I don't know where I'm going with this, but what do y'all think about this?
Well, like, I think we have discussed this briefly in the past, where in our art activism and then in other podcasts as well, where it's like we don't want to tell people like what kind of art to make and what kind of art they can and mm-hmm. can't make. But this is like such a big, like, product, I guess, mm-hmm. because it's somebody who is looking into a community who is not theirs. And I think it depends on the artist, and I think it depends how they talk about the work and how they exploit the work, like you said, mm-hmm. and what they plan to do with the message of the work. Like, are you making this message because the people who you're making the message about don't have a voice, but you have a voice, so you want to use your voice to better their good, mm-hmm. or say something that maybe other people don't know about? Because that can happen sometimes where... Yeah. If you're coming from, like, a community where maybe nobody's listening to you, or you don't have a voice, and somebody else wants to help you, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But it does, like, depend, like, what is the, do you know, like, what the corpse represents, or, like?
It's supposed to be Emmett Till, like, his, like, literally an abstracted version of what his open casket would look like. So then, for me, I'm like, why... I don't know, like, I'm like, how can it not be exploiting and disrespectful of this event? Because, like, art is supposed to cause questions, art should, you know, get people talking, but at the same time, it's like, it almost feels like sometimes people do these things deliberately, knowing that it's going to create a controversy or a debate, and...
Hype their work.
Yeah, and it's like, kind of like the no...
Cancel culture, too, as well.
Well, not that, like, but, like, no publicity is bad publicity.
Right, because they're going to get attention.
Because either way, she's getting attention. Like, I have never, ever, ever heard of this artist before. Unless it was, like, in an art history course, which I forgot, which I doubt, because she's a contemporary working artist. But it's just kind of like, why this one? And why now? Because it doesn't seem, at least, like... And I feel like if she was donating the money that she's making, if this painting was sold to, like, Black Lives Matter movement or something like that, that would be a different thing. And I think if she was doing that, the article would have made a point of saying, but she's doing XYZ thing.
Right.
So the mm-hmm. debate still continues, but they don't mention anything like that. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it kind of, I don't know. Because it's like, I don't know.
No,
like,
I
don't
agree.
Like it. I don't like it personally. I'm not going to say that she's a terrible person, that she should never make work again, and that she's never allowed to do this thing again. But I think, like,
there's a time and place.
There's a time and place and there's a way. And there are probably other artists working on this same event, like the whole, what's the word I'm looking for? Terrible, racist, hateful history that caused Emmett Till's death. That is being touched on by other artists and probably by artists of color that just don't have the voice to speak on it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, why not look harder for those artists? Why not, like, why find the first white person you see making work about this experience instead of just working harder to find a person of color who is touching on these subjects? If that's the kind of work you're looking for in your museum, why not look for it from a person of color? I just don't, like, I'm not, yeah, I don't want to, like, bash her or, like, say one thing is right or wrong, but at some point it's like, you can't just teeter on the edge of the line. Like, sometimes there is a line, and sometimes you do have to say, like, I agree or I don't agree with this, because not saying otherwise is like, you kind of made your choice.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I just don't understand why would she make this piece, and why not something, I don't know, like, why not something else that is, like, empowering for the movement, or that creates attention for progress or actions that are being taken now versus an abstracted
portrait
of this
murdered person.
Yeah.
Well, I can think of one artist that does deal with subject matter that pertains to Africans. This is during the apartheid time. And this is William Kentridge. We were just talking about him earlier. But William Kentridge talks a lot about the apartheid, where it was a time, I'm not exactly, I think it was South Africa that this was happening,
yeah,
where the minority white people were discriminating and horribly treating the native Africans there. I mean, it's freaking Africa. Okay, whatever. But William Kentridge was a witness to this. He was a young boy, and he would see this mistreatment of these people. And now what he does is he commissions these people to help him out with his artworks about this time. But I remember seeing a documentary about this, where he had a group of women helping him create a tapestry. But I'm looking at their working conditions. They were well taken care of. It was a nice, well-lit room. They were sitting comfortably. They were taking breaks. And he was paying them well. So it's not like he was just taking the topic and using it for his own, but he was taking the topic, helping others create a living from the top. Giving them work to do. And also incorporating them into the work itself, because he also got actresses, singers, and all these people involved with his theatrical works. And I think that's a good example of how to approach these tough topics, where you can give someone a platform and really, incorporate the community affected. Someone else that I can think of was, Teresa Margolles, but she's a Mexican national. She's from Mexico City, and she did a quilted piece. It's from an overall work called A Thread Connects or something like that, but it's this quilted piece where she went up to New York, and she did a piece about Eric Gardner, the man who was suffocated to death. And what she did there is she spoke to the people that were closest to him, and also to a local sewing bee, it's like a quilting group. They had a name. I'm not exactly sure what. But she told them, I'm doing this project. I would like for you to collaborate with me and to create this large quilt. It's going to be exhibited around the United States. And she let them have free reign. I think she did direct them in some way or another, but She gives them full credit. There's like a video series that goes along with the quilts where every person is named. You can see them working. You can see them talking about what's going on and who's affected and how it affects their community. And that's another example. I mean, yeah, Teresa Margolles is not white, but this also wasn't her direct community. And she recognized that, and she included them and gave them a platform to talk about the topic.
Yeah.
Whereas, contrasting to this, it kind of just seems like Schutz just kind of made a painting of a grizzly. It's a very intimate moment when you go up to someone's casket as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like it wasn't like Gerard Richter, who had also painted dead people,
uh-huh.
but he was using images from a newspaper. And
mm-hmm.
If it was like the same thing where you had done like multiple paintings of people who are wrongly accused and who died, and like you're making a point, like these are the amount of black people who are wrongly accused, who are dying, like you said, like Black Lives Matter, who are like being beaten by the police. I think it would have been like, you know, with the a statement, you know,
mm-hmm.
or
uh-huh.
just like some context of like what this means
rather than just the name.
Yeah, rather than just the name, I think it would have made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I also look at the piece and I, like, don't like it. Like, I don't...
No.
Like, I don't feel like that is... You're bringing
genuine.
Honor or you're bringing, like, awareness or you're
yeah.
doing something for the community. Like,
it just
it's just...
disfigured
yeah.
and...
Like,
I don't know. That's, like,
disrespectful. Yeah, because of the style that it's in... You might not even understand that this is supposed to be, like, a very graphic image and just, like, oh, that's just, like, the stylistic decision of the artist to make the face like that versus, like, no, this is, like...
Purposely,
a disfigured person because of how badly they were abused, like...
Yeah. Well, if... I was about to say, if you're white, but,
well, what do you think about, like, the Whitney's decision forward? Like, do you think that they should censor it, or what do you think there should be guidelines about censoring? Because we did talk about this,
I don't think
earlier,
they should censor,
like
no. You shouldn't censor someone's work, but it's just, like, put more effort into the artist that you're looking into and who you're bringing into the space, and looking more intimately at what they're doing, why they're doing it, and... who is it going to benefit the most? And it's, I think it goes back to, like, our last discussion of the Whitney, where the president was, you know, using money towards, you know, these tear gas sales and these weapon sales. And it's like, who's in power? Who is making these decisions? Who's really caring about what issues and why? And I think it might be an issue with the Whitney that they're probably trying to change and make a difference, but it's just, like, those hierarchies of power and...
blind spots that
yeah.
they don't even see that
who's
they have.
Who's choosing the work.
And we're so forgiving of...
That's what... Okay, that was, like, another
people.
Thing. Like, even, like, ugh, like, I feel like we give them too much leeway. Like, oh, like... Look, here's a white person paying attention to, like, a poor community, or here's a white person trying to make a difference. And it's like, but they get so much, like, honor and, like, oh, praise because they're looking out into somebody else's,
yeah.
like, community. But it's like, I don't feel like they deserve that much credit to, like...
Like, oh, you care?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Like, oh, my gosh, she cares.
Oh, my God, yeah.
yeah,
like, somebody who's rich cares. Like, you know, no, like, I don't think, like, everybody should care. And this is should be, like, a standard, and there shouldn't be this difference or, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a tough one. I mean, I do think that the Whitney did the right thing not to censor the artist, because also it lets people see, one, the Whitney, who they're choosing to show these kinds of topics, and the artist herself, like, who is she and why is she doing what she's doing? It kind of lets the people, it does create a conversation. It does let people know what's going on. We're discussing it right now, too, and I don't agree with how she did it either, but I think we wouldn't be here, or we would, yeah, we'd be here, regardless, but we wouldn't be discussing this topic, and we wouldn't really take into consideration other people's with, what's it called, other disadvantages.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I think it's time for a wine refill, and then we can come back with the main topic of the day, which is exhibiting our worth.
All right.
And we're back in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, guys. We're back. You guys transferred the finger to me.
All right. Wasn't going to be me.
Well, we're back from our little, I guess, wine refill. So our main topic today is going to be exhibition experiences. And we've all had the pleasure to experience some sort of exhibition. And I'd like to start off with the good. What is a good experience you guys had? Whether it be a group exhibition or a solo exhibition. One of y'all.
Okay, so I think one of my favorite exhibitions to take part of was my solo show. Only because, like, you know, you work so hard for your solo show, you want to have enough work, you want the work to be good, and so I really put a lot of work into it, and a lot of effort, and I mean, for sure it was not perfect, but it was definitely something that I was proud of, like, something that I could say I did, like, oh, I had a solo show. That was probably, like, one of the, I don't know if it was, like, the best moment of my life, but it was pretty nice. You know, it was nice. It was, because you see all your work that you've done throughout the semester or throughout the years, and to have it all displayed, and it's just you, you know, it's just you and your work. So it was a really nice experience. Also, we kind of talked about this earlier, but the groups exhibitions that we've done with drawing and printmaking at our university was, like, a really good time, because it's, like, a lot of upper-level classmates, and seeing all the work mixed, how different it is, how similar it is, and it's really nice to see them all together, because it's a cohesive show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I think for, out of the good, the bad, and the uglies, my good, or, like, best exhibition experience was, the first time that, I don't remember if it was Cam or Terry, but they asked me to participate in the deluxe mix. I don't remember if it was 3 or 4. I don't remember, because there's been quite a few now.
I think there's 5 now.
Yeah, but because I had seen the year before and really enjoyed everyone's work in there. And it was like, yeah, you're seeing upper level students. And so it felt kind of like an invitation into the cool clique, the hardworking good clique, you know, like, oh, they see, like, something in my art that it's, should be, like, on this wall, and it should have its own space, uh-huh. And, like, and the nice thing about them, too, is that Kim and Terry worked so hard, and they did everything, you know, like, we didn't yeah. have to do anything except for give them permission to take the work and put it up, and then that was something that I could add onto my resume, because you want to have a lot of exhibitions, yeah. Ideally more solo than group. I definitely have, like, 10 group and 1 solo, but I mean, it's still something to add nonetheless. And so, like, all those times that they would ask me, or sometimes I wouldn't check my email, so I wouldn't see, and then I'd see, like, the posters, and I'd see my name, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in another show. And then, you know, you get to tell people and your friends and family, and they get excited. So that was a really good one. I think also my solo show, I mean, that's gonna also fall into the bad for me, but I guess, like, I had so much stress about the show, because I wasn't planning on doing one. I didn't feel like, because you kind of have to book the gallery space a semester before, uh-huh. because it books really quick. You want, like, time to plan everything. And I was, like, a really pessimistic person about my art and, like, my school experiences. until the bitter end. Like, now I can reflect and be like, actually, it was really good, and I, like, wasted a lot of opportunities by being so pessimistic. But this was one of those things that I almost wasted the chance on, because I was like, oh, I don't have enough work, or I don't have enough good work, or I don't have enough good work that I actually want people to see. So I was just like, I'm not going to do a show at all. And then by lucky
serendipity.
By some sort of alignment of the stars, Sarah was able to find out that someone had dropped their spot for a show. She slid me in, you know, for the spot, and then I had, like,
maybe,
like, 2 or 3 weeks to prepare everything, which, like, when she told me, it was when I was, I was on my way to Vegas with Michael for his cousin's wedding, and I got your text, and we were, like, in and out of service, and I was like, oh my god, like, should I tell her yes, should I tell her no, I don't know, what do you think? And he was just kind of like, yeah, just do it, like, but I'm like, you don't understand, like, I don't, what about my work, and, like, and I was trying to reply to you, and I'd have, like, no service, and then I'd be waiting for you to reply to me. And so there was, like, just so much stress and anxiety leading up to it. Like, fuck, like, I should have planned this a long-ass time ago. I should have just said yes, but planned it a semester ago so I wouldn't be freaking out. And I have critiques coming up, and I have all this stuff. So then when I had the reception, like, because when I installed the work, I still felt like it wasn't enough, and I wasn't happy with everything. But when I had the reception, it was really well received, and there were a lot of people that came because my sister brought a lot of, like, the music department. My coworker that was also attending brought, like, some student council people. I had the art department, my professors, a graphic design class that walked in. You know, my family was there. A lot of my family came. So it was, like, that was a really good experience, but everything leading up to it was, like, utter chaos. And of course, it did feel empowering to, like, install my show, and also to have Miriam and Sarah help me do everything. They helped me with so much. But I'll talk about that more in the bad.
For me, a good experience was my solo show. I guess because I finally got to see all my work picked together, and see it how my work has progressed, and how much work I really put into it. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of this time of when I was able to pay for my own trip overseas. Like, I was able to pay for it myself. I did it all myself, and I was able to do it, and this is kind of how I felt about my solo show, that I was able to put my work together. I was able to, I actually had a lot of help from Christian and Eddie, but, I mean, aside from that, I was able to get my shit together. I was able to keep myself in the zone and really just get this done, the flyer, the food, the, just everything. And, I mean, not that many people went, but, like, I was still very proud of it. I was like, this is my baby, this is my first solo show, and I'm gonna enjoy it, and hopefully I'll have another one this semester if someone drops. Hopefully.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, like, when you see all your work together,
mm-hmm.
it's like, here is, like, the past few years of my life leading up to this show, like,
mm-hmm.
everything that I've worked towards, all my concepts, and it is, like, a really good feeling to have everything
up in...
Yeah, on display.
Yeah. Do you guys have any ugly experiences with an exhibition?
Are we gonna...
ugly or bad?
Bad or ugly?
Oh, sorry, I don't have my glasses on. Bad. What's a bad experience?
Okay, what did I write? Oh, okay. So, I think being part of a group show is kind of nice, because you don't have to do that much work, like, so much work. But it also is a little bit stressful,
mm-hmm.
because the work has to be, like, cohesive, or it should be cohesive. And one of, like, the bad things was... I had a group show with some of my friends, and... it was, like, we started the semester, and I think we prepared for the whole show in maybe, like, a month, like, of painting
from scratch.
Yeah, from scratch, yeah. I tried to start beforehand, but I still, like, fell behind. And it was really, really intense, because it was a painting show, and, like, paintings can take, like, forever. Like, for me, sometimes a painting can take, like, months, just one.
Mm-hmm.
So, to have, like, multiple paintings done in, like, a month was, like, super, super intense. Like, I was there on the weekends all day, every day. I was going to school 7 days a week, preparing for the show. I was in the studio for, like, 10 hours.
I was in the studio.
Yeah, so it's fine. I was in the studio for really long periods of time. Like, I would get there before class to work. I would stay all of class, and then I would stay after class to continue to work. And it was just, like, super, super intense. And I really had a good time, and I'm really proud of the show that we put together in such a short amount of time. But I definitely think it could have been better, and I think... afterwards, I suffered a really long period of, what is the word?
Burnout,
yes, thank you. Like, a really super long period of burnout, and a lot of my other work from my other classes suffered a lot. Like, I actually didn't even, like, complete work for my other class. And so I don't think I would ever push myself that hard again, because I know, like, the consequence of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it did turn out good, but it was also, like, a really, you know, stressful time,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my life, yeah.
I think for me, my bad experience would also fall back to the solo show. Where do I begin? So... the way that it worked, and I mean, when you're out of school and you're working on your career and you're trying to get into a gallery or some sort of exhibition, usually there's more organization, there's usually like a team or so, even if it's just a couple of people, someone who's in charge of like the front, someone who's in charge of receiving your work, installing it, you of course going in and, you know, helping out with whatever they need. But when you're... at least for those of you who are attending University of Texas El Paso Fine Arts, when you decide to do any sort of group or solo show, you sign a contract, you give them some sort of a floor plan just so they are aware. You don't have to really anymore. And then you get a key, and it's all up to you. Like, they'll drop off, like, a ladder, a mop, you know, like a broom, and then a little tool desk thing where it has all, like, the power drill and nails and bolts, things like that. But everything else is you. Like, you working on everything yourself. You get a week. So you get to install on a Sunday. Generally, you get to install your show on a Sunday. Your show is up Monday through Friday. And then you take the show down on Saturday. And then the next week and the next week. And usually the semester's booked solid, whether a professor booked it for, you know, their classroom, group shows, someone else, you know, it's just like, it's busy. It's busy because everyone wants the opportunity to show their work. Everyone wants the opportunity to add to their resume. So when I got the group, when I got the, like, go ahead, like, yes, you're doing your solo show, I turned in the contract, I got my keys, everything was good to go. And, like, that wasn't the bad part. Like, I, of course, stress, like, that's inevitable. And there was a lot of problem solving that came from it, which I'm very grateful for, like, the whole learning experience. But there's a thing called gallery etiquette. And what happened to me, it's kind of not a big deal anymore because I graduated. But it's something, like, I forgive, but I never forget, you know? I'm a very... and this is, like, a very bad trait of mine, but, like, I will hold on to things till the end of time, and I won't, like, say anything. Like, you know, like, I'm very cordial with people. I try not to let things, like, affect me. I'm not good at hiding my face, like, if I don't really care for someone. And I don't really, like, dismiss people because I think they're annoying or because I don't get along with them. But usually, like, if I think they're mean or a disrespectful person, I don't like to interact with people like that. But generally, I would say I'm pretty, like, easygoing with people. I'd rather get along with everyone and make someone feel comfortable around me than the opposite. But guess what happened to me, y'all? So, the person who was scheduled for the gallery the week after me had messaged me maybe, like, on the week before I started installing. I think it was, like, a Thursday. I'm not even sure. It was, like, the middle of the week before I was meant to install the show. And she had messaged me that she got my number from
the coordinator
of the gallery, that she was doing her show the week after mine, and that it was going to be, like, some very big show with a bunch of, like, installation, and she was going to be building a wall inside the gallery, and if I could take my show down a day early so that she could have more time to install the work. And when I got the message, I was kind of just like, one, I don't know you. Two, like, you sign a contract for your week, so whatever it means, like, whatever you have to get done in that time, like, that's what you have. Like, three, it's not fair for me to have, like, less time to show my work because you are not prepared. Like, I wasn't prepared for my show. Like, I spent a lot of time, like, last minute getting everything ready, but I got it done by that Sunday so that everything could be prepared for, I mean, minus, like, my show poster, but that was it, you know? So I told her, and I wasn't, like, mad. Like, I wasn't like, oh, how dare she say this? Like, how dare she even, you know, because who am I? Like, and I want to be as helpful as possible. But I did text her back saying, like, you know what? Like, my show's going to be open Monday through Friday. I have family that's going to come out that they're only able to come on Friday because of their work schedules. What I can do is take the show down, like, Saturday morning, that way you can have all of, because I didn't install a lot. I had a table and, like, a couple of shelves, and everything else was just, like, thumbtacks and nails. So I told her, I can go early in the morning, I can take it down, you can start installing by mid-afternoon Saturday, that way you have an extra half day. And she was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much, good to go. So the week that I installed the show, I saw my work schedule. I was scheduled to open the store 8 to 4 on Saturday, the day that I was meant to take down everything, and the day that I had told her, yeah, I can come in early in the morning, take everything down, don't worry about it. So I felt really bad because I was like, okay, like, I can't not work. I need the money. I need to pay my bills. So I can't switch the shift. I can't get rid of the shift. What I'll do is I'll take the show down Friday night. So the show, because the gallery hours are 8 to 5. So you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the show Monday through Friday. And then Friday, maybe around 6, I'll start taking down the show. And that way she can install Saturday like she wanted to. And that way I don't have to tell her, oh, psych, I'm gonna have to do it Saturday evening. So I tell her all of this. I sent her a message to let her know, like, hey, this happened with work. I'm going to be taking down the show Friday after the gallery closes. That way you can have all of Saturday to begin. Like, I'm sorry, like, if that, like, kind of set off the schedule anymore, but hopefully that gives you more time to set up. And she was super happy. So my show goes on. I have the reception. Everything goes great. Friday, I don't have class on Friday. I go to school so that I can work in the studio. And then when the date, like, when 5 o'clock passes, I can head over to the gallery and start taking everything down. I go to the gallery. It's not even 5 o'clock. I think it was like 3:50, 3 something. I go and I see that the gallery is like chained, locked. And I was like, what the hell? Like, and when I had come in for the day, it was like maybe 12 or 1-ish. And when I passed by the gallery, I noticed that the lights were off. But because I wasn't on the same floor, I was on the second floor and the gallery's on the third floor, and I'm seeing it from outside, I thought, oh, maybe it's just the outdoor lighting, maybe it's the reflection of the glass, maybe I don't know, I didn't pay attention to it. So I just went straight to the studio, started working on stuff. But then when I went and I saw that it was all chained up, I was like, what the heck? But I still had my keys so that I could take everything down and lock it up. So I take the chain off, I go in, and all of her stuff was inside the gallery. Like, I had created sort of like a room with some of the moving walls that we had, and her walls that she had already constructed, pre-made to install, were all inside, like, giving me such like a narrow passage to walk through, like, this sort of mock hallway that I had created. And when I saw it, I was so hurt. Like, I was really, really hurt, and I was really mad because I signed a contract for these days. the fact that I was willing to, you know, take down early or come in the evening to do this was as a favor to her. But I still signed an agreement that I would have my viewing available till Friday at 5 p.m. And I was really upset because I thought, what if I had people, like, I had people that were going to come on Friday and see it. Hopefully they caught it in the morning before they locked it up. I don't know how long it's been locked up. What if they had, you know, tipped over one of my shelves when they were pushed, because they were massive walls, like really bulky things that she had put in there. So there's powder on the floor, like from the paint that's chipped off the walls and like the wood that she had brought in. It's super close to my wall where my work is installed. It's super close to the shelves that I installed, which are holding like glass plates, even though they're wrapped in newsprint. It's still a fragile object and it's still my art. And I just felt so disrespected, and like, I wanted to send a strongly worded email to the gallery coordinator to be like, hey, like, I sent you a text letting you know that I was going to come in after 5 to take this down, that this was the plan for her to come in and do this on Saturday. Not that you guys were going to put everything in there for her during the middle of the day Friday when my work is still up for viewing. And I wanted to email or text the girl and be like, what the heck? Like, this is not okay.
I wish you did. Like,
I think I texted you. I was like texting everyone. I was like, oh, hell no. Like, and everyone on, because I even had put it on my Instagram stories, like a video of what I walked into essentially. And everyone was saying, that's not okay. You should say something. You don't have to be mean about it, but at least like let them know, like, that this is not fair to you, it's not correct what they did, you know, and make them aware that this isn't okay, because maybe they're going to do this to someone else in the future, thinking that they got away with it. I mean, you're just a college student, so they don't, like, you're not going to complain, you know, your work's not insured, so, you, like, they're not at fault, and all of this stuff. In the end, I didn't end up writing either of them, even though I really wanted to, because I felt like, okay, what good is it going to do? It's probably just going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. And then, like, I can't take back that time. I can't reverse it. And the girl's probably not going to learn her lesson anyways. And on top of that, I did understand that, like, the coordinators are not there on the weekends. They're only there up until 5 o'clock on Friday. So how could she have gotten all of that up there by herself? But then I thought, we have a huge-ass elevator special for this. You ask your friends to help you out, or your family, or someone to assist you, or you hire someone to assist you, because once you sign that contract, it's your responsibility, not anyone else's. So I still have, like, a lot of, like, angst about that, and I would say that is, like, my bad gallery experience, even though it was at the same time, like, a really good one and a good learning experience. That, like, last bit of it was just, like, left such a sour taste in my mouth for that girl, for the coordinator, even though I know, like, I was, like, relayed a message later that, like, he really was just trying to help her before, like, before he was going to leave for the weekend, and, like, I don't know, it was just, like, how many times are people, like, taking advantage of their courtesy and kindness to other people, and they just get away with it, and nothing ever changes, and this probably happens in the professional world all the time, too, which is just so shitty, so, yeah. And I'm sorry that I always go on and on when we're recording, but I just have to get that off my chest.
Anybody go next?
I think I already went.
You went?
Yeah, she went.
Oh, wow.
For my
bad? I just talked for so long. Yeah. So
that's not the ugly, right? That's the bad.
That was the bad.
Okay. So my bad experience... So my bad experience with an exhibition was... I got into this group show where we had a judge decide what gets to go in and what gets to go out. And I was excited that I got in because they offer awards for this exhibition. And I got... There's a photography section for that award. And I looked at everyone else that got in, and I was the only photo that got in. So in my brain, I'm like, ah! Like, screaming in my head, like, oh my gosh, I'm finally gonna get something. Like, in these 5 years, I've never really won any recognition or anything, and I'm like, finally. And so, I mean, but I'm trying to, like, check myself and stay humble, because something like this has happened to me before, where I assume things and In the end, it doesn't come out. So I'm, like, trying to keep myself a level head, but, like, still, like, getting excited every now and then because my peers are like, oh, my gosh, did you see? You're the only one. And I'm like, yes, 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 I know, but I don't know. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to jinx it. I know my life.
Yeah.
I know my life.
Yeah. And so it comes out to when the awards are announced and they go over an award for this, an award for that. And it comes to the time where it'd be an award for photography. And I'm there, like, at the edge of, I'm on my tiptoes, I'm like, ah! And they completely skip and the announcement for the photography award. And I'm like, this must be a mistake. Like, there must be something wrong. And they go on announcing the rest of the awards, and they wrap it up. And so I go and talk to someone that is in charge or would know something about it, and they tell me, well, you know what? The juror decided not to award that particular award. And I'm fuming. It takes a lot for me to get mad, like mad. And I was livid because, I mean, who decides not to give an award to a student?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it rubbed me the wrong way, and I knew right away that there was something wrong. So I thank you, Christian, for being there for me. I knew I blew up, but I blew up. I was pretty mad, but I knew that I couldn't talk to anyone at that time. I knew I was still too tender, like very tender. And I knew I needed to talk to someone that I trusted, and that was my professor, Terry. I sent her an email. Even in the email, I read it again. I'm like, what an idiot. Why am I saying things like that? I'm like saying things the wrong way, but Terry knows me, and I trust her fully. She has my best intentions in her heart. So she understood where I was coming from, and she spoke to me. And she was able to tell me, she was able to tell me some things that this juror was thinking about when she decided not to give the photo award. And the first thing that she said was that because we do not have a photo department. Oh, I can't even say that, huh?
Well, we yeah, you can.
Yeah,
like,
can I say that? Okay. Well, because we don't have a
photo...
At school, because I don't have access to a photo department, that award should not even be given for the exhibition. And then the second reason was because my photograph did not have enough photograph qualities. She didn't think it was enough of a photograph.
Even though it was literally a photographic process.
Even though it was the original form of creating a photograph. I do silver gelatin prints, and that is the original way of creating a photograph. Alright. And the third reason was because it was the only photograph chosen, she didn't think it should be awarded anything. So the third reason X's out the second reason, and the first reason is just classist. Because I don't have access to a few thousand dollar equipment that I should not be able to participate in something that could, I don't know, like, I think the award is just $150, but $150 at the time, that's when I was having respiration problems in the dark room because I didn't have a mask. $150 would have paid for that mask. So, I mean, this woman...
Like, it was kind of like, why even put in the photo at all?
Yeah.
If you don't feel like we don't have a photo department, like,
and if
you
don't think it's a photograph, why accept it in
the
first place?
Or accept it under a different category. Like, you know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, it really taught me the lesson that I learned. I thought I learned the don't count your chickens before the eggs hatch.
Mm.
Like, that one really solidified that lesson in my life. Because as much as I wanted to say I was trying to be humble, I was still, like, imagining the mask I would get with the filters and being able to breathe right and being able to get the recognition that I've been wanting but didn't happen, and I won't get it.
I mean, even if it's a thing where it's like the lesson is don't count your eggs before
chickens before the eggs hatch.
Yeah, that. Like, they still did you dirty.
Yeah, because...
Like, and everybody who was aware of the situation also recognized that. So it's not like you were getting, like, all in, you know, in your ego and, like...
No, I was told by several superiors that, oh my gosh, did you notice that you're the only one?
Yeah.
Like, I was told by superiors that I would probably get the award because I was the only one in the category, but... whatever, I guess. Lesson learned. White privilege prevails, I guess.
Well, that whole juror thing.
That was like a mess.
The selection was a mess.
Was
and
like,
yeah, that night was a mess. The selection of winners was a mess. There were a lot of things that I was just like, I was over it. Like, by the time.
Yeah, I remember getting there and then, like, you guys left. And I
yeah,
was like,
I felt so bad. But, like, yeah, like, Miriam literally showed up and. I guess that was also one of my bad ones. Not because I was excited that it was, like, my first time making it into that show. But at the same time, when I saw, like, how things were being handled there and who was receiving what recognition and the people who were not, who I thought had phenomenal work that were very deserving of it, it was just, like... Like, I wasn't even mad that I didn't get anything, so I was like, oh, it's my first time. But the stuff that got it, I was like, I don't understand. Not because it wasn't good, but because there was just so much more mature work up that I honestly, it blew my mind. Blew my mind.
Yeah.
And we might want to edit this out. But like, the person who actually won Best of Show was someone that had already graduated, and it was specifically said... In the thing that if you have already received a BFA, you cannot get Best of Show, and you need to put a little like sticker next to your name. That way, you won't be considered two people.
I don't know.
They were both had already graduated. They did not put the thing, and they both won certain things. Or actually, no, one of them didn't. I think no, he did.
Do you want me to edit this out? I don't think it's a bad thing to leave it in because it, in the way it was like that was like the
it was
reality,
like, a
like
yeah,
and
it
it's happened multiple years. So
like the year before that, I was up in the running. That was another bad show, but I eventually found out that it was between me and this other person, to get Best of Show, but it ended up being the other person because. For some reason, I don't know what, but this other person had already graduated. They already had their BFA. We should just edit this out. But this person, I don't know. I'm just
saying.
No, but it's true.
Thing is, like, you're
like,
not
like,
bashing the person. You're not even bashing anything. It's
no.
Just that like there were rules that were violated and awards that were given that should not have been received by certain people because of the rules. Like that was
the
thing. Like the
person was just taking a class to use the equipment. They were just taking. They weren't even in the class struggling. Like, I was taking a full load of classes, working two jobs, and, like, I was still able to be, like, one of the finalist contenders for, like, the Best of Show. And this person, yes, they had a lot on their plate, but they were just taking one class, and that was just because they wanted to use the equipment. And
the thing is, like, even when, like, and I said that I was really, like, disappointed with how the awards were given out. I even, because Sarah and I were talking about it after the fact, that I was like, you know what, I'm going to give the juror the benefit of the doubt and, you know, just say that the work that she selected were, like, younger artists, people who are maybe freshmen, sophomores, about to become juniors, who are still developing their work, who are learning more technical things, because she wants them to feel like, oh, I can get the awards, I can make it, you know, give someone who's starting out with more hope. So then if I'm giving her that benefit of that line of thinking and consciousness, then you would think that they would leave the awards strictly to the undergrad students who are there learning all that they can before they graduate with their bachelor's, the same way that she's awarding beginning artists for other categories.
Or even the photo category, if she didn't... Like, if I... She thought that I was, like... Oh, I am, like, barely starting photography. That was, like, my first, maybe, full year of trying photography. If she really was advocating for the underdog and, like, those who didn't have much experience, then I should have had that photo. Well, you know what? I don't even know if I even should have had that award. But with that line
of
thinking...
The point is that it was... Those are, like, some bad experiences of exhibition, though, like,
and even in that same show... Like, not even talking about the awards and all of that.
A lot of people were...
They did so wrong by the artists. Like, the way they set up work. Like, they stacked people's work. It was just,
your
like, they...
Work was stacked.
They overfilled
upside down.
Yeah, they overfilled it to the point where it was, like, you couldn't even look at someone's work without being distracted by four other pieces around it. Like, they put a fabric piece that is, like... On white fabric with very light thread on the very top
piece.
Where you're like, it can't read it, with a piece right underneath it and a piece to the right and left. They didn't even set up my prints correctly, even when I had gone in and said, like, oh, this is gonna be, like, this headband has to be on the print, and I just put a nail there and it balances. Like, there were just so many... That was probably the worst experience. Well, no. The two contend. But this to say that, like, if you're trying to show your work, there are going to be negative experiences, and we can only prepare for them so much, and hopefully you can learn from those experiences, but there will be, like, a lot of disappointing moments, whether it's, like, the gallery, the people in charge, the jurors, or those around you who are going to let you down, if you will. And when you're a student especially, it feels like you don't have any power or voice to say anything because they're in charge and they're, you know, like, it's kind of like Miss Trenchbowl, like, I'm big, you're small, I'm right, you're wrong. Like, that, it feels kind of like that, like, where you feel like I can't really complain because at least they gave me the opportunity. When in reality, it shouldn't be like that. Like, if you're showing your work, you do have the... Sorry, guys, we're recording in a different room with a fan on because every single episode that we've recorded over the course of the summer, we've been melting. We turn off all the fans, all the AC, we close the windows, and you still hear all the cars passing outside, and I'm sure you still hear everything else, like the ambience in the room. So we're sorry if this episode sounds a little bit different than the other ones, but we just didn't want to sweat the whole...
night.
And I mean, we're already sweating. It would have been worse.
Record outside.
It'll be nicer in December, I guess.
Yeah.
Whenever
it'll be nicer
hits.
When I come back.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, because it'll already be October.
Oh,
I don't know.
When this episode comes out, Miriam will still be in Germany.
Germany.
We'll miss our little baby.
I'll be back.
All right.
Well, that
should
was
we talk
bad.
About the uglies?
The uglies.
I know
quick
the
and
ugly.
Simple. The uglies. Miriam.
Okay. So one of the uglies that I did.
I got the ugly.
Was like a group painting show. I don't know. It was just like the work. All the work that was put in was very like half-assed. Because we didn't have, like, that much time to prepare. I think it was one of the first shows of the semester. So everybody was, like, rushing to submit something. I didn't really like the work that came out. The work was hanged very weird. Sorry. It's the wine. I'm just kidding. I don't know. It was all right. But I don't think it was, like, the best show.
Mm-hmm. My ugly would definitely have to be the wall group show that we did for Terry's class, where we had, like, our own wall and we had to draw on
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I wish I could have done that. I know, like,
she
skipped it for our gen, but I was also going to say, like...
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. That one time I, like, submitted work at, like, a lounge or something... Like, you know, you do, like, you start off and you do, like, coffee shop, gallery thing. But this one was, like, really sketchy. Like, the area was sketchy. The people were sketchy. It was, like, a bar. I was underage. I was by myself. Yeah, and then there was another guy there, so I was, like, hanging out with him, because he said he went to our university, and so I was like, okay, somebody who I can, like, relate to, but he was a little bit older than me, well, actually a lot older than me, but, like, while we were there, he was very, like, touchy and
ew.
Weird. Yeah, he was really weird. And, like, he had brought, like, a friend who was a girl there, too. And I'm, like, assuming it was, like, maybe somebody he was talking to. But he kept, like, talking to me.
Double ew.
And so, I don't think he knew I was, like, underage. So then when I left, he was like, oh, let me get your phone number. And I was like, oh. Like, I was, like, young. And I was by myself. So I was like, oh, like, sure, whatever. And, like, he, like, kept messaging me after that until I just, like, stopped messaging him. Like, and would stop replying. So that was really weird. But it, I don't know.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah.
For me, the ugly would be this upcoming show that I want to pull off. In my mind, I wasn't going to graduate until next semester. So I was thinking, oh, this semester, I'll sign up and reserve a spot that's nice at the end of the semester, but not too at the end, so that people can enjoy it, I can enjoy it. But does my life work that way? No. I'm graduating this semester, and I haven't even talked to Nick to see if there's any room available. Someone's going to have to drop out, or I'm going to have to make them drop out. Just kidding, no.
Like, you're not ready. I'm in the work.
Your work.
Oh, no. And if worst comes to worst and I don't get to have a show this semester, I want to have a solo show at a local gallery, the Cholo Gallery.
Yeah,
I was going to say, like, we didn't even touch on that both of you have exhibited work outside of the university space.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, a really big
deal.
That
was a good experience, being at the Cholo.
Mine was okay, yeah.
You were...
Mine was at the Art Association, the El Paso Art Association.
Oh, over here, yeah.
At Crossland Gallery, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Cholo Gallery was cool.
I want to exhibit there. Well, I want us to
maybe
exhibit there.
Maybe I can have my solo show at the Cholo Gallery, and no one's going to...
Marissa, we should exhibit together.
Okay.
The
little...
the nudge, yeah. Nudge, nudge.
But, yeah, that'll be a train wreck to see. Let's see, do you all have any goals on exhibitions?
Did you say you're ugly?
Yeah, that was my ugly, the upcoming show.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think we're, because we also took the break. We're at 1 hour.
Okay.
1 minute.
Should we wrap it up with goals?
I think we can do goals and then advice, because
yeah.
Our advice is not that long. And our goals are also not that long. I think we can
find
your foot.
So, thank you. What are your goals, y'all?
Well, like I said, right now I'd like to have a solo show at the Cholo Gallery. And I know it'll be probably towards the end of my life when I'm nice and withered. I'd love, love, love to have at least one little tiny piece at the Drawing Center in New York.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
That's like a...
We should plan a trip to
that's
New York
like
so
a,
you could all... Wait, we were talking about this
last
time.
Yeah, that's like
we
my dream.
New York trip.
Yes.
Every day we'll go to a different museum.
Yes, I would love to
I
have
I already list them down.
Yes.
In my notes.
And I think you will. I know you will.
I just need to keep working hard and doing my best, but that's like a goal that I hope to... I'm getting like emotional now, but like I really, really want to.
Yeah.
It's like a goal.
My goal, I have exhibited outside of school before,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like I can apply and do more applications, but sometimes I feel like I get those feelings of not being good enough or my work would be rejected, so I guess I am afraid of rejection, but I know I know there's going to be more rejection than acceptance, like, in the long run. That just happens, but I have to at least try. So that's something that I want to start doing is just do the application, you know, just pay the fee, just do it. If your work doesn't get in, it doesn't. If it does, it does, you know, and no hard feelings. So, yeah, that's my goal.
And I don't have any goals. Just in terms of exhibiting work, I don't really have any desire to. Like, not that I don't have a desire to, but it's not something I'm working on. Like, I'd rather focus my energy on trying to get into the shop and, like, just keep making work, because I feel like I haven't made work in so long that it's like, how can I expect to be exhibiting if I don't make anything new? But if, like, a show comes up or an opportunity arises where a gallery is looking for a theme that fits with the ideas and concepts I'm working on, like, I won't pass up on the opportunity to apply for that. But, yeah.
And some advice and tips that we have for you guys, to find out any listings or anything like that, I know there's this one website that our professors always tell us about. It's Cafe Listings.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to this place and it shows you every gallery, every space that is calling for artists.
Oh yeah, call for artists.
Cafe.
No, but it's because it does, like, when they email you, it comes as cafe listings.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
Call for artists, yeah.
Call for artists. Well, go to call for artists, and you can make it local, make it national, international. And some of them are free. Some of them have very low entrance fees. Some of them, the fees are a little pricier. But there are awards for some of them, and it's a really good way to get your work out there and seen by the public.
Yeah.
And I would say definitely research. Like, don't just start applying to every show possible, because sometimes the show might require, like I said earlier, like, it might be centralized around a particular theme. It might be asking for a particular medium. And, like, if you're not researching, like, the gallery, the people, because you want to, you know, address them professionally, like, you might waste money on an application that they're just gonna, like, toss or not even bother looking at because you didn't address them properly, or your work has nothing to do with what they're doing, or you didn't do the requirements, because different submissions will have different requirements. Like, you might have to send digital photos, it might have to be a certain size, you might have to send it in person, you might have to, like, there's so many different things.
It might already have to be framed, and they just put it
up. Exactly. So definitely research the gallery, the themes, everything that you possibly can, and then submit. And don't be afraid to submit.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I put down, like, if you are afraid to submit, to start small, like, start locally. I said start with coffee shops or, like, just, like, local art events, and then you can move on from there and do more, like, art shows, and you can still stay local, and then later you can try and do more, like, applications for stuff that's either, like, out of state or whatever, in state. But I think starting small is something that would, like, help you get out of your shell, or help you show your work.
Mm-hmm. And I think one last thing that I want to mention, it's a quote from a book that I also think is a really good recommendation for you. I think I mentioned it on the first or second episode, probably numerous episodes at this point. It's called Art/Work in all caps, so ART, the slashy symbol, and then work, W-O-R... and it's a yellow book. It's by Heather Darcy Bendari and Jonathan Melber, and it essentially has, like, a bunch of instructions and advice and tips collected from, like, from people who work in the galleries, people who work in the museums, people who are working artists, people who are professors. It has quotes from different people from all over, and then it has, like, the informational section. So this is a really, really good resource to have. It definitely is the only way I learned anything about professional practices. And there's a quote that, it's not like any, like, an inspirational quote to end on, but it's just, like, another thing that, quote, "There are many ways to get your work out there aside from landing a commercial gallery. Online venues, artist-run spaces and collaboratives, nonprofits, art fairs, and venues outside of the traditional art world." And why I wanted to mention this is because sometimes you might not feel valid enough, or you might not give yourself enough credit if you feel like, oh, well, I'm not in a museum yet, or I'm not in so-and-so gallery yet, like, oh, I'm just in a coffee shop, or like, no, but all of those things are valid. All of those things are things to add on your resume. All of those are going to provide you different kinds of experiences, and ultimately you're sharing your work with the public in any sort of capacity you can, and that is always, always going to be to your benefit. And yeah, I think that's all I wanted to end that with. So check out the book if you can. It's not very expensive if you can afford it. If you live here, I can let you borrow it if you want, like, or I can make you copies of certain different chapters if you're looking for something in particular. But yeah.
Right. Anything else y'all would like to share?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Thank you
for joining us again. Once again.
Miriam, say goodbye for
3 weeks.
A couple episodes.
It'll only be
You'll be back by the time the episodes without you air.
Yeah.
But
you'll be missing.
Yeah, the next episode, but the two after the next. Miriam will be absent. We're hoping to bring a couple of guests. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'd like to bring on my mentor, maybe, if it's cool with the girls and if it's cool with y'all, so that if you have any questions about tattooing, getting a tattoo, wanting to become a tattoo artist, all the ins and outs that he's willing to share, maybe we could do an episode about that.
That would be really
or
fun.
We could bring on someone like Danya or someone like Danny, if she's willing to kind of give us a lesson on either digital art or like Danya, her experiences in printmaking, her, you know, just like anything. Like, what do you guys want while Miriam's gone? Let us know. Now's the time to let us know. Actually, yeah, we'll have enough time.
Yeah. I'll post it.
Yeah. You know what? I'm saying this all now, but we'll probably put it on Instagram, so I'll either cut this or you guys can just ignore this.
Oh, yeah, because this will come out after we ask for it.
Okay, never mind, guys. Sorry.
Reverse.
Well,
my dad's on your way with my sister.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that means we're going to wrap things up here at Sundays at Des. We thank you for joining us. We thank you for listening. We hope to have you back on the next episode. And yeah, that's it. Thanks, guys. Oh,
bye.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.